Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. Dear viewers, welcome to our program Treasures of Wisdom, in which we are to discuss the wonderful advices of His Eminence Amir Ahl Sunnat Hazrat Allama Maulana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Radhavi Damat Barakatuhum Al Aliyah. And we are able to elaborate, Alhamdulillah Mawlana Sahib, on those wonderful pieces of advice given by His Eminence. And there's so many lessons, so much it opens your mind to a certain extent to understand the beautiful deen of Islam. How can we progress in our iman, in our Islam? How can we attain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we better our actions, repent in the court of Allah azza wa jalla, get the pure taste of iman itself, subhanallah? These advices really proven to be beneficial, Mulana Sahib, from a spiritual point of view, from a physical point of view, from the point of view of where you make a person a namazi, make him parizgar, to instill the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart as well. It could even better one's akhlaq, akhlaqiyat, characteristics, so on and so forth, Mulana Sahib. So I would suggest to the viewers of Madani channel to kindly stick with us and be with us until the end of the program. We even have a wonderful kalam that we would love to recite, inshallah. In fact, I'm about to ask our Honorable Maulana Sahib to commence with the kalam of Huzur Mufti Azam Hind Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. And thereafter, we move on towards our advices. Once again, as a reminder, the name of this wonderful booklet is available on the website of Da'awat Islami by the name of 786 Advices by His Eminence Amir Ahl Sunnat, subhanallah. So get your hands as soon as possible on this booklet. It can be downloaded or it can be obtained from the nearest Maktabatul Madina bookshop of Da'wat Islami. And Maulana Sahib, what's very nice is that from many years we have taqseem for risalas, you know, yes, distribution of these magazines and booklets and books, mashallah, whereas brothers purchase them in large quantity and they are distributed in many programs. So in this way, if there was a person who was unable to afford buying a book, he received one for free, free of cost. And taqseem of rasail is a very beneficial thing. Dana sadqai jariya, isari thawaf marhumin, mashallah, on their names. It can be done. So don't feel shy, inshallah. Get this book, whereas 786 advices are given. And these advices are from Quran Pak and Hadith Mubarakah, from the life experiences of our pious predecessors, mashallah, subhanallah. So what advices His Eminence has given? Today we are going to be discussing the advices given regarding, mashallah, Islam and Shariat, Mulana Sahib, regarding the sunnahs of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, how can I better myself? Every day a mu'min, a believer progresses, Mulana Sahib. And he needs to progress and move towards success. And this is not only the success of the world, but we are looking at the success of the hereafter. This is what a mu'min, a pure believer targets on a daily basis. And through the barakah and blessings of targeting the hereafter, yani trying to attain that, automatically, uske sadqe mein dunya to milhegi, Mulana Sahib.
Definitely.
He will get some portion of the world because it's a divine promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla. There is no one that walks on the surface of this earth whose rozi is not dependent on the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Everything is upon His mercy, Mulana Sahib.
These wonderful pieces of advice. First of all, when you glance over it, and there are not that many pages, 786 advices. Subhanallah, the nisbat is also so beautiful. Due to the barakah of Bismillah Sharif. And then you see that he'll say very few words. But if you look at the meaning of it, it is like huge. You can write volumes on each of those advices that are given, subhanallah. And each one has like a treasure within themselves. 100%, 100%. So these are 786 treasures, actually. And as the Buzurgani Deen, the pious predecessors, the aqwal of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they would be very short and sweet. Especially the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jawami ul Kalim, and he will summarize a very large concept in two or three words.
Allah,
the Buzurgan Din, they have inherited that, and they have, alhamdulillah, embedded it in their teachings as well, where they give you a short sentence that if you implement in your life, it will take away so many problems. So like, they're like doctors, spiritual doctors, subhanAllah, spiritual doctors, spiritual healers, spiritual guide. Therefore, he is Shaykh Tariqat, subhanAllah. And the way he would advise you, he will say a few words, like how the medicine is given, not in plate. Medicine is given in small tablets, small doses.
Capsule, Allah,
subhanAllah, in millimeters or milliliters, right?
Right.
And similarly, his advices, they're not very huge, small, simple. Few words, subhanAllah. And the impact is much more. And here we see Arabic proverb is Khairul Kalami Qalla wa Madalla, meaning the best speech is that which is little, but when you expand it, the meaning is expansive.
Subhanallah. And this is the exact case, Mulana Sahib. We find there's so much of sincerity and khulus in those sentences and words. It truly penetrates the heart. It truly changes a person who was stuck in misconception for many years, Mulana Sahib. And these few sentences and few words really opens the minds and the hearts of people, and it allows for them to think better, for them to progress. So please listen to these advisors, dear viewers of Madani Channel. They are based on the opinions given from the Quran, Hadith, Ulama, scholars, Muftiani Kiram, and experiences of the pious predecessors as well. So it holds lots of value. Kindly listen to the entire program just after this kalam we are about to commence, inshallah, azawajallah, with regards to those advisors. For now, mashallah, the famous kalam, Tu Shami'e Risalat Hai, Alam Tera Parwana, Tu Mahe Nabuwat Hai, Ae Jalwae Janana. This is one of my favorite kalams, and I think the first kalam that I ever learned to recite maybe in my life, mashallah, when I was a small kid and child. So, inshallah, let's have the honor of reciting this kalam, inshallah.
Tu Shami'e Risalat Hai, Alam Tera Parwana, Tu Mahe Nubuwwat Hai, Ae Jalwae Janana, Jo Saasiye Kausar Ke Chehre Se Naqab Uthe, Jo Saasiye Kausar Ke
tere dar ka khate hai
حبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم، تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ، تو ماہ نبوت ہے، اے جلوہ جانانا. ماشاءاللہ، very rejuvenating مولانا صاحب. I really enjoyed this kalam. ماشاءاللہ، سبحان اللہ. May Allah Kareem enable us to keep reciting the praises of the most exalted Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سبحان اللہ. And after reciting his praises, when we go through this type of work that we are discussing right now, it has more meaning in it, مولانا صاحب. The ishq and the love related and connected to the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla also depends on how much you intend to practice the deen, dear viewers. Subhanallah. Restricting the love to the tongues alone with kalams and naats and not being practical is a fact that a person isn't true in his claim, dear viewers. Allahu Akbar. Keeping in consideration these wonderful advices, now if a person loves the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam merely by listening to kalams and naats, will this increase your love for the Prophet of Allah azza wa jal? Listen to what Amir al-Sunnah says. The fear of the Lord and love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are our capital.
Subhanallah.
So this is the capital. The fear of Allah Kareem and the love for Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam are our capital. Subhanallah. Actually, there's wonderful reference to this as well, Mawlana Sahib, he has given. However, in the next part, he says, every designation holder should make up their mind that Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted them this designation and He can take it away at any time. In this manner, they should keep fearing the secret plan of Allah Azza.
Allah.
Abhi two advisors kafi hai Mawlana Sahib for a person to find his way back.
Sidi, you mentioned the first beautiful advice, and it reminds me of a share of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. He says, that sharm nabi khauf khuda
ye bhi nahi wo bhi nahi. Allah.
And this is actually a sum of our state, that neither do we have a shame in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we do believe isa wa aqeedah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is hazir and nazir, he is present and witnessing whatever we do. And when the news is taken to him that your ummati was seen doing this, or he sees the ummati doing this out of the folds of Sharia, something he's doing, or something dodgy that he is busy in maybe in day-to-day activities, it pains the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It hurts him. And should we be the cause of hurt for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No, we wouldn't want to be. But why? When are we going to realize that by doing all of this, we are actually hurting the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He's not proud of us doing dodgy things and having no fear of Allah, do whatever we want. This is not the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has groomed his ummah to be. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has granted us so many privileges. I mean, we are so privileged. We are indeed privileged to be the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the punishment of Allah hasn't descended yet.
Allah Akbar.
As the people who were before us, the nation of Aad, Thamud, the nation of Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam, the nation of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, all these nations, they were perished and destroyed. And this is the time for us to take a lesson. And here Allah Azza wa Jal says, we are safeguarded because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there in our midst. Therefore, we are safeguarded. Otherwise, people before us, they did many things that we do today, even way beyond than what they used to do. We even added to it.
Allahu.
In terms of khurafat, in terms of corruption, in terms of indecencies, it is gone beyond that limit, what the previous nations did. And we still have no sense of consequences, that no, there is going to be consequences for all of this. If we are cruel to people, if we don't have the fear of Allah, and we feel that whatever we do it in our sense, in our mind, we are doing the right thing. So we are so confident. And here Amir al-Sunnah, another advice, he says that your confidence in thinking that I am sincere, you should work more on it. Meaning, you should doubt your sincerity if you become so confident that you start to feel, no, I'm sincere in whatever I do. Then you should watch out. You need to put more work in it. You need to check yourself again and again. If this confidence comes in you, the day confidence comes in you. And here, this is the confidence, sincerity in terms of going, doing good. And when it comes to our confidence in doing evil, Allahu Akbar, that is gone past the roof.
Allah.
And even then, there is no remorse, there is no repentance, there is no shedding of tears, there is no tawbah being made, there is no istighfar being made, there is no apologies being made to people or we do wrong to. And we feel that, no, it's beyond me to go and seek apology from someone who is just as me, you know, human just like me. Allahu Akbar. So these are the things where the fear of Allah should kick in. And the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that it keeps us on our toes. For example, you are driving and there is some authorities on the side of the road. Although there is nothing wrong with your vehicle, you don't have tires that are eaten up. You don't have lights that are not working. Your hooter is working fine. You got valid driver's license. Despite all of this, when you see the authorities, there's some fear in you. Oh, the authorities are here, I must watch out. You start to check your speed limit, although you don't go over the limit, but you double check. And here we are certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us wherever we are. Huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. That Allah is with you wherever you are. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us here that He is with us. With us meaning it should make us fear more. That Allah is with us. If I'm going to do this, He is watching. If I'm going to say something to someone, He is watching. He is even aware of our thought process. Sure. If we are thinking and plotting something in our mind, something sinister, a sinister plot, He is aware of it. We can't now close our eyes and look the other way and pretend like, you know, we haven't done any wrong. So He is with us, and the Quran says He is even closer to us than our jugular vein. What could be closer to us than the jugular vein? If that is severed, that means that's our lifeline.
Allah.
A person is no more.
Allahu.
So He is closer to us than our own life, Allahu Akbar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His fear should come naturally. As the people who are abiding by the kalima of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the Quran, we identify with the Holy Quran, the kalam of Allah. We identify with the kalima, la ilaha illallah, there is none worthy of worship but Allah. We make sajda, keeping in mind that yes, I am in the presence of Allah. I am in His court and I am making sajda and He is aware of my sajda. And when we recite in Quran, we believe it certainly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are engaging in a communication with our Creator when we are reciting Quran in our salah and so on. So all of this is to inculcate the fear of Allah in us. And once a person starts to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't fear anyone else. Another example, a pious predecessor, he has said that what is the sign of having the true fear of Allah? He says, when you stop fearing anything else, Allah, that's when you know you have attained the fear of Allah.
Allah.
So these are some of the ways where we can inculcate the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within us. The shame that we should have when we are doing anything wrong in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that should also overcome us at these times when we are crossing the boundaries of Sharia, the rules and regulations that are laid out by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is going to be the same beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam who's going to make our shafaat. And we make dua, we recite kalam, we recite a plea in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make our shafaat. But with the same mouth, we utter obscene words and hurt people with the same tongue with which we are supplicating for the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then how is it going to match? Is there like a measure that we can use? The Sharia is a measure Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given, that if you do X, Y, and Z, and that is my code of conduct. And if we have done that, and then we ask on the day of judgment for the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then yes, we have kind of rightfully deserved the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we haven't done all of this. We have gone against the Sharia. Then with what face are we going to beg for shafaat on the day of judgment?
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Thus he says, it is my habit. Amir Ahl Sunnah says, it is my habit that I pray and have others pray for my forgiveness, Ma'azab. Pray for my forgiveness without accountability, because I do not find in myself the strength to face accountability. Amir Ahl Sunnah says, I do not find in myself the strength to face accountability. Once again, this boils down to Khofi Khuda. When somebody's heart is really filled and occupied with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, you would feel this way, and it's only right to feel that way when you really fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Holy Quran, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And we have indeed emphasized to those who received the books before you and to you that remain fearful of Allah.
Subhan.
He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. O believers, fear Allah and talk straight. And Surah Maida, he says, فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي. So do not fear them and fear me, in Surah Maida. Likewise, he says in Surah Nisa, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. O people, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul.
Allah.
In one verse in Surah Ali Imran, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O believers, fear Allah as He should be rightfully feared and never die but as a Muslim. Now, immediately after this advice, look at what Amir al-Sunnah says, Mu'asab. He beautifully says, in this one nasihat, he says, Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims in the world. It would be a huge honor if we also die in the state of faith as well.
Allah.
So keeping this verse in consideration with the advice of Amir al-Sunnat, it will be an honor. Alhamdulillah, you're a Muslim now. Your name is Tabriz. Her name is Imran. Your name is Sadiq Bhai. This brother, that brother. MashaAllah, it feels so good, right? Trust me, brother. If you're feeling good now because you're a Muslim, you should be more concerned about leaving the world as a Muslim. And this is exactly what this verse means. O believers, fear Allah as He should be rightfully feared and never die. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ And never die but as a Muslim. Khawf, again, Allah is speaking about fear. In this surah of the verse, Surah Ali Imran, He says, وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ And fear me if you are believers. وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ And remain fearful of only me in particular. وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ Allah warns you of His wrath. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ And fear that day in which you shall return to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the ayat goes on, Muasab. I'm actually cutting down because why? Time, dear viewers. Over 100 places Allah had said, fear, fear, fear. It's this fear that would make people stop the wrongs and the harams and the all that that's happening right now, Mawlana Sahib. However, coming back to the discussion, Amir As-Sunnah says, it is my habit that I pray and have others to pray for my forgiveness without accountability because I do not find in myself the strength to face accountability. It's a very big statement to make and shows us when such a pious individual, pious personality says this, then where do we stand a chance, Mawlana Sahib? Why do we feel as if dekha jayega? We'll see whatever happens. This type of attitude is very dangerous for one's iman, for one's afterlife as well, dear viewers, in the hereafter. So we should always be concerned, as Mawlana Sahib given a very beautiful example, even in the immigration officer of immigration when you're traveling overseas, nothing will be wrong with your passport, nothing is wrong in your baggages. They only have to ask you what's packed inside. They only have to ask you, what have you packed the bag yourself? And even though you know what you have put, even then you'll see people still thinking, what have I put inside? Because the way they ask you is like they put a doubt in your heart as if you have really planted something in your bag. So you get into the ghabraat situation that I must not be pulled aside. It must not be the case where I am asked to be separated from the rest. Mm. And this shall happen on the day of judgment when your parents, your Piro Murshid, Asatiza, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Awliya-i Kamilin, Ghawse Paak, Khaja Ghareeb-e Nawaz, Khaja Nizamuddin, Awliya Rahmatullah Ali, name the awliyas, they would be there. On one side, the Quran says, خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ They will be reclining on pulpits made of noor, fear, far from the fear of the dunya and every other fear and grief that can affect the heart. They will be witnessing what's happening and people like us will be held accountable before the whole world, Mawlana Sahib. That's where the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla says, مَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ The one who concealed a person's faults in the world, Allah shall conceal his faults on the day of judgment. Now, how can a person's faults be concealed on the day of judgment? You hid the faults of others here. You did not expose them. You did not make fun of the mistakes. You did not, for the sake of jokes and funs, narrate the secrets of other people. Rather, you concealed it. You covered the mistakes of the person with this niyyah that I have 100 faults in me. Kash, on the day of judgment, before all those great personalities, Allah Kareem puts a parada over my sins and does not call me and pick me out before the rest of the world. And my parents, my Piro Murshid, and all the people that used to kiss our hands and give us respect and love would hear the sins a person committed in the world. Allahu Akbar. Jab 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 j
sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah jab waqt nazaa didar ata karna, didar ata karna. Maulana sahib, this is actually the last wish of a person, actually. Maulana sahib, I mean, when your soul is being extracted, a person is not allowed to do anything. A chance would not be given to you. But this is one faryad if you make, and if it's accepted, Maulana sahib, then all the upcoming events and stages in the hereafter can be rendered to become easy because of being blessed with that vision. And ho sakta hai, through the blessing of that vision, the person's account is then settled because of making ziyara, subhanallah. However, Maulana sahib, these advices have really struck my heart, and I'm looking at these advices of Amir al-Sunnat with regards to sincerity, and he says, sincerity is a condition for acceptance. And thereafter he says, the one who is satisfied with their sincerity is in greater need of sincerity. How do you explain this, Maulana sahib? The one who is satisfied with their sincerity. Koi mutmain ho chuka hoga, Maulana sahib, ki bas khulus jitna mere andar yani hai is waqt, wo kafi hai. It's enough, it's sufficient for a person. Agar kisi ko aisa mehsoos ho, His Eminence says he is in greater need of sincerity.
They feel that, you know, I'm doing so good. And they are really proud of themselves, that, you know, so confident that whatever I'm doing it 100%. Mm. I don't need to fear anything. Mm. I'm all sorted. Mm. And here, this type of confidence is not really encouraged, as Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, he says here, that he is more in need of sincerity. If one tends to feel that way, that, you know, I am like made of, you know, all righteousness from head to toe, I cannot do no wrong. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm sincere. Such a person who's too confident. One is being confident, being bold, and one is being stupid. So this person is not actually being bold or being confident.
Overconfident,
here, yeah. Yes, he's overconfident, and that is never a good sign. Mm. Being overconfident meaning our enemy is shaitan. Mm. And a person, if you are entering a ring and you underestimate your opponent, you are gone from the word get-go. Because you've already undermined your opponent, and that is number one reason for failure in a battlefield. Your opponent will put you down same time.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu
because you
Akbar.
Have underestimated your opponent. And here a person who's entering a battlefield with shaitan, he must equip himself. Yeah, even Allah. After equipping himself to everything that he has, all the amal, all the knowledge, all the nasiha with him, all the du'as with him, he must still be concerned that, you know, perhaps shaitan may overpower me.
Allahu Akbar.
So
this was the life of the awliyas, Maulana sahib.
Yes, many awliya, they used to ask for their end to be on good, on iman. And here Maulana sahib has mentioned that these are some of the last words you want to be, that when you are departing from the world, devotion to Allah, devotion to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I met a person, a child whose mother passed away. And the mother had embraced Islam 2 years before she passed away. So the child is telling me that my mother passed away, and I want to make Isale Sawab for her. And they told me something that struck me, that when she was about to pass away, just before she passed on, She said that she can see some people come. She could see Malakul Maut, perhaps.
Allahu Akbar.
And what should I say? Because she is reverted. She has newly embraced Islam. She doesn't know that much about Islam. And the child says, Mommy, tell whoever it is, you know, you must never forget one thing, your kalima, your iman, your faith, your devotion in Allah and your devotion in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and recite, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And those were her last words.
Kya baat, kya baat, kya baat.
So these are the things that we need to prep ourselves for. That death is not, you know, something that we know that, you know, at certain point in time on this day or on this month we are going to die. We don't know, even 5 minutes from now it could be.
There's no guarantee, yes.
So in this state of uncertainty, we should always be making dua for a good end from this world. When we are departing this world, it must be on iman, and we must leave on devotion to Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the criterion of success in the next world, inshallah.
Kya baat hai, kya baat hai Madine ki, subhanallah. Now, dear viewers, listen as he continues with his advice. He says, acceptance, Mulana Sahib. First, in the first advice, he said, the one who is satisfied with their sincerity is in greater need of sincerity. Because one, acceptance does not depend upon being less or more. Acceptance, we have in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the court of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, does not depend upon being less or more. Rather, it is upon sincerity. How sincere are you in your action?
Quality over quantity.
Allahu Akbar. This is where we have the example of quantity and quality. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Masab, he says, we have two examples that are very important to give you. He says, number one, the acceptance of good deeds does not depend upon being less or more. The acceptance, yani, of good deeds does not depend upon them being less or more. Rather, once again, sincerity.
Allah.
Avoid showing off. Nurture the habit of performing good deeds with sincerity, because even if a sincere person performs a good deed whilst hiding behind a thousand veils, Allah Almighty makes him popular amongst people. Allahu Akbar. So this is the very important part for us to understand, basically, that avoid showing off, ostentation, bragging about what I have done or what I can do, and nurture the habit of performing virtuous deeds, good deeds, that too with sincerity, Mulana Sahib. Anyone can go and feed a poor person. Anyone can go and read 2 rakat extra nafil salah. But it depends with what sincerity you have performed that action, dear viewers. So he says over here, stop showing off, basically. Avoid that. Nurture the habit of performing virtuous deeds with sincerity, because even if a sincere person performs a good deed, and even if it is a single good deed, whilst hiding behind a thousand paradas, thousand veils, barriers between public and this person, but because he done it for the pleasure of Allah, out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Kareem will make that amal known to people, dear viewers, without him announcing what he had done. People would get to learn about the sadaqah, the charity, the generosity of that person. The sadaqah and the charity of the sahabas, even if they gave in muds, our mountains of charity can't compare to 1 kilo of charity, for example. Of a sahabi that he had given in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Whatever measurements are given there in the books of ahadith to make us understand, dear viewers, the point is that, subhanallah, our sincerity cannot compare to their sincerity as well. And sincerity is the key ingredient to the success in this world as well as in the hereafter, subhanallah. So let's form the habit of introducing khulus in our hearts, Mulana Sahib. Sincerity, honestly, it's a very great tawfah and a very great gift. If we only understand the power and the impact of being sincere in actions, and how Allah Kareem safeguards the actions and the amal of those who are sincere, it's really, really, really amazing, subhanallah.
Also, you mentioned, Amir Ismail says, even if a person is behind thousand veils and he does one good action solely for the sake of Allah, and that's what we call sincerity, for no other reason but for the pleasure of Allah. And here we see the example of those pious predecessors. When they did good deeds, they never exposed their good deeds or made an announcement. You know, like how in today's world, social media, you will see if a person is giving, maybe $10 to a beggar, that is videoed, it is shown, and for the entire world to watch, and then they'll say, the same person will say, after giving charity, please rate my charity. So he wants the reward from people. What reward are people going to give? They are everyone in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward them. And here somebody is here seeking the reward from the people, perhaps 1-2 likes on the social media, and that's it, and it's gone, done and dusted. Tomorrow that social media platform may not exist. So all his likes and dislikes and all the comments are gone down the drain. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the person for doing something out of sincerity. And the example of Sayyidina Ghawsipa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, I mean, he didn't want, he wasn't a person who was ostentatious to show off whatever he would do. He would recite the Quran at night. Nobody was looking. And then somehow the word went out. He didn't want to show off, but the word went out that for 15 years, every night he recited one whole Quran. How would anyone know? It is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making him famous.
Making him famous.
Allah Akbar. True, so he never went and told people, that, you know what, I recite one Quran every single night. Did he do that? He didn't do that. But people somehow, they found out the men of Allah, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disclosed it to people somehow, and it became famous, subhanallah. Ghawsi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, he became so famous that he has passed away, hundreds of years he's been now. And even now, the urs of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, Gyarawi Sharif was celebrated. Okay, if I were to say that of the places I know where the Gyarawi Sharif was celebrated, 10, 20, 30 places I know like by heart, that these places, I know that I saw the posters and so on. There are hundreds of places beyond that that I don't know where it is celebrated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him that famous. And his name will be continued to be taken, his name, Khaja Sahab's name, Sufi Sahab's name, and these awliya Allah that are there, they don't publicize their actions, but the generations remember them. And as opposed to the person, you'll meet many people in WhatsApp that they'll come and tell you, hey, today I read my Fajr Salah. Right? I woke up for tahajjud. I did this, I did that. And they gain no publicity. Why? Because they want publicity from you. They weren't sincere in their efforts. That's why they came and told you. They couldn't wait to tell people that, you know, I woke up for tahajjud salah. I woke up for this salah. I woke up for fajr salah. Good for you. If you have done it sincerely for the sake of Allah, may Allah accept. But if you have done it to talk about it and to brag about it, to beat drums and tell people, now this is not encouraged in the deen of Islam.
So this is the part which a lot of people miss and do not understand. The Sufiyani Kiram, the pious predecessors, have really found solutions and they have really caused trouble to Shaitan. Because Shaitan, Iblis, has found all those ways to attack people. A person is thinking he's sincere right now and he's humility right now, he's humbled. Wahi, usi humbleness ke andar Shaitan can bring showing off him. Yani, aap inkisari ke andar bhi showing off la sakte hain. Aajzi ke andar bhi showing off la sakte hain. So, Amir al-Sunnah says, taking care that there is no showing off whilst uttering the words of humility. Do not call yourself lowly or humble servant until it is truly felt in the heart. जब तक आप दिल से इस चीज को तस्लीम नहीं करते कि मैं खादिम हूं, we like to call ourselves खादिम, खादिमे, for example, खादिम of certain organization, खादिम of the deen, we all are खादिम्स of the deen, servants of the deen. But if you really want to call yourself a servant of some person, some pious person, then don't say that servant word out of showing off. When are we sincere? हमको खुद भी नहीं पता होता है मतलब, because it's something that is not practiced all the time. Even a chor, even a thief, if he's stealing, he's put his yaqeen and his trust and all his sincerity in what he's doing, because he wants success in that job, in that action that he's doing. So, inshallah, azza wa jalla, if you read namaz, salah, when you read salah, you need to be sincere in your salah for the pleasure of Allah, azza wa jalla. Trust me, even if the president is next to you, it will mean nothing to you because you are in the bargah of Rabbul Alameen at that
moment. Subhanallah.
You will start shivering instead of shivering to show others that I'm shivering in salah, I'm crying in salah. The tears would roll for real out of love for Allah and fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the maza and the lazzat of such ibadat is so different as compared to reading salah without any sincerity or any act of worship without sincerity. This is like practiced and done by people who have written volumes of things to say about what a different maza and feeling it is altogether when you perform any action out of sincerity.
But this sincerity is, as you've mentioned, expectation is there on the other side.
Ji.
You've done some good, mashallah. And we know that whatever good that we do with sincerity, it has to have its returns manifold. Mm. It is dependent on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much sincerity we have put in that action, and based on that, the results will come. Right. But we have given it, you know, with the intention that I'm giving it. Let's see to what extent the next person goes in order to thank me.
Right.
Or maybe you've given somebody a parcel. Usually we exchange parcels, gifts, and so on people's birthdays,
right,
on certain occasions, like festivals. And you give the gift, expecting a gift in return. When you have your birthday, you're expecting that person to give a gift in return. That also happens. So all of this is transaction. And for transaction, we are not rewarded for transaction. you are sitting in the shop, you are selling the goods, you are receiving the money. There is no reward for it.
Aye.
Because this is just simple transaction. So we are doing a transaction in this way. I'm giving you something, you must say thanks to me, and that deal is done. Transaction is finished. There's no reward, hope for reward or anything of that. But if a person has true intention for reward, then all of these thoughts will not come in a person's mind that, you know what, I have given it for the pleasure of Allah, and this man is not even saying thank you. This will not cross your mind, because your mind is too occupied looking at the bountiful rewards that are heading your way. So that makes you oblivious of the nitty-gritty things that are, you know, by the way, subhanallah, compared to the reward that Allah has in store for us. So here, the Buzurgan Adin, they used to say, neki kar darya mein daal, meaning you are feeding the fish, you are breaking the bread, you know, maybe you can go to some parks, gardens. There are fish inside, you know.
Ponds.
Yes. And you take a half loaf of bread or leftover bread that was at your house, and you start breaking and feeding them. You're not expecting a thank you from the fish. There's nobody else besides you there feeding the fish. And the reward is on Allah, because there is no chance of showing off there. Because why would you do that? And similarly, these kinds of actions, they are appreciated. My friend always used to tell me, you know, if your expectation is from people, you are setting yourself for disappointment. And he told me one sentence which I always remember: no expectations equals no disappointments. As simple as that. If the expectation is not there, you will not get disappointed.
Not disappointed, yes.
But disappointment comes because there was an expectation.
And trust me, Mulana Sahib, a lot of people out there are in anxiety and depression because of not meeting up with their expectations. When I expected this to be the result, or wo us tarah se hua hi nahi jaise maine plan kiya tha, any expectation ke mutabik wo kaam nahi ho paya. People fall into depression, anxiety, fights, argumentations, quarrels, separations, and whatnot. Huge faislas are made because of not meeting with expectations. So we would say, وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. A person should be actually handing over his affairs to Allah Kareem after you have done the best which was in your capacity. The results, if it's left to Allah, let Allah give you what you deserve. Subhanallah. Amir al-Sunnah states so beautifully, someone may steal something that is in our hand, but no one can steal what is in our destiny.
Allah,
Allah, Allah. Aap zara dekhe na. Hamare haath mein, hamare jeb mein, hamare bank account mein, hamare bag ke andar, agar kuch saman hai, to koi bhi chori kar sakta. Lekin jo hamari taqdeer mein likha hua hai pehle se, kya usko chori koi kar sakta? So trust Allah Kareem, trust your Lord, and hand over your affairs to Allah Azza wa Jalla. What is in your destiny, no one in the world can take that from you. And what's not written in your destiny, no one in the world can come and give it to you. So remember this very well, dear viewers. Stop crying and stop falling into anxiety and crying for no reason and showing na shukr to Allah Azza wa Jalla, na shukri, by your tears, by your words, by your actions. But rather, from the face have a smile, from the heart be humble, from your actions be simple, and then lead a life that you're supposed to be leading, in which you are compared, which insan does the best of action. This is what Allah wants to see from you in your 50, 70, 80, 100 years lifespan. Nothing more than that. And trust me, Mawlana Sahib, after 60, 70, either way, a man has completely declined. And that is not the time now to perform actions as you can perform in the middle age. It's only the timing. If we say somebody got 80 years lifespan, I'm looking at the age of 15 till the age of 60. Your maximum time to reach Allah's closeness. This was a time to hit the jump, Mawlana Sahib, with all your might to pull yourself away from the hellfire. This is the age you're supposed to utilize to reach that maqam. And if a person was doing haram kariya all his life and then after 60 he decides to become a wali, example, he wants to become humbled, make tawbah in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The doors of tawbah are always open. The doors of rahmah are forever open, dear viewers, for those bandas that wish for forgiveness. So it's a different thing altogether when you perform these things for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Mu'asab, there's like 1 minute before we come to the end of the program already, and he says, how can a person disobey such a kind of Lord who bestows countless bounties? He says, losing faith is the biggest calamity, Mawlana Sahib. Losing Iman is the greatest and the biggest calamity. Today, for any other thing that happened in our lives, sabse bahar pahar, sabse bada pahar hamari upar tuta hai. But how many people wipe and swipe their hands off Iman? Within minutes, they signed one document in which they were ready to change their Iman. Any religion, Iman, whatever it may be. People compromise with it to some extent. So he says, losing faith is the biggest calamity, but others may not look at this from the same lens and angle, Mawlana Sahib.
Wasab, you were saying something with regards to the destiny. And you also mentioned something with regards to accountability. And these are the kind of people, when it comes to their accountability, as Amir Usmat Ahmad Barakatul Aliyah, he says that I make dua, and I ask others to make dua for me, for my forgiveness, without accountability, because this is something he's afraid of. And we all should be afraid of it. But on the other hand, there are people who are so brave who will tell you, I'm ready to pay for what I've done. They are so brave, they think they can withstand the punishment, the wrath of Allah.
Allah,
they are the same people who take the Iman lightly.
Allah.
And they will compromise on the Iman.
So this should not be the case, Mawlana Sahib.
So these are the people. The Iman is gotten so weak that they are actually ready and eager to face the punishment of Allah. Not knowing, you know, in their entire life, they haven't even gone burnt by a fire. And here they are so courageous to face the azab of Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. May Allah have mercy on us.
Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. It was really wonderful. And we have come to the end of the program, leaving you with another nasihat and advice by His Eminence. He says, we must show patience over every difficulty and pay gratitude for every bounty. He says, if someone does a favor, Allahu Akbar, does some work for us or brings us comfort, we should utter words of gratitude with the tongue to thank them. It is best to say, Jazakallah. Jazakallahu khaira. Subhanallah. So yes, he's teaching us to show gratitude, because the one who gives thanks to people, in other words, has thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more you thank Allah azza wa jalla, la azidannakum, you will get more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's show shukr to Allah azza wa jal. We will be back with our same program, Treasures of Wisdom, with another discussion. Keep reciting durood and salawat upon Nabi Akram, Nur Mujassam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keep seeking forgiveness from each another for the sake and for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala
Muhammad
sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.